Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we're glad in it. I'm so grateful for this day that the Lord has allowed us to see. Thank you for joining us wherever you are in the world. I'm grateful for that. It is my prayer that our God would bless you in incredible ways. I'm going to be ministering from Matthew chapter 7 today, talking about judging. As a matter of fact, there's a song years ago that the Temptations used to sing that said, if you're living in a glass house, don't throw any stones. And I'm going to be preaching about that today, about God's instructions, Jesus' instructions to us about being critical of other people. I believe it'll be a blessing and a sound teaching for your life. Be blessed. Father, we honor you this morning, give you praise, glory. As we intercede and pray for one another, we give you thanks for your loving kindness, your tender mercies that you give us day by day. We come before you today praying for one another, interceding for the persons whose hand I hold. We call their name out before you. And we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who join us. Father, we pray in the name, matchless and wonderful name of the Lord, that you would have your way in our lives. Work miracles on our behalf. We pray this morning, God, we pray this hour, this moment, for you to speak to us, challenge us, change us, mold us, make us, and allow your name to get the glory and the honor. Save somebody that needs to be saved. Reclaim that restore and reclaim that backslider. Give assurance to those who have doubts. Edify believers, Almighty God, and let your perfect will be done. We give you praise ahead of time for what we know you're going to do. Put a hedge around this place, bind every distracting spirit. And Father, let the power of your Holy Spirit do what it is he's ordained and desires to do. And we give you the thanks ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All righty, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Dr. Akers has read this already. But I want to read it to you again. Beginning of verse 1. Judge not that you do not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? How will you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I'm titling this message today, if you're living in a glass house, don't throw no stones. You can be seated. I don't know if you remember the 1975 song by the Temptations, titled, if you're living in a glass house, don't throw no stones. I didn't know, like most Temptation songs, I did not know the words to that song. All I knew was the title and the refrain, if you're living in a glass house, don't throw no stones. So when I was preparing for this message, I decided I would go and get the words to the song, the lyrics. So I looked them up. And the song is about, if you got your own mess, why are you going to be critical of somebody else's mess? And that's what I want to talk about for just a few moments today, because there is a warning from the Lord Jesus in the midst of his Sermon on the Mount right here in chapter 7. Many of you know that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is his Sermon on the Mount. And it is through his Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is talking about various and sundry topics, a whole lot of topics he talks about. And he spends these several verses here, these first five verses of chapter 7 in the midst of his sermon, to talk about judging. And his sermon then is still applicable today. Amen. Thank you all for that rousing affirmation and amen. Because if the truth be told, there's always somebody nearby who's critical of somebody else. Yeah, y'all might not want to admit it, but some of you have been guilty of judging other people. And you ain't got your own life in order. I know that's not good English, but it's mighty good preaching. Somebody said that's good preaching. The term judgment that Jesus speaks to, he warns us about passing judgment, condemning people, making a decision about somebody, calling somebody's actions into question, or somebody's heart into question is what I should say. It means to form an opinion about somebody. And I thought we should spend a few moments and take a look at this. And I won't keep you long, I promise. It'll be one of the shortest sermons you'll hear me preach at the 8 o'clock hour today. Y'all missed that. That went over your head. You'll get it later. I just got 2 points, and then I got a sub-point to one of these points. My first point is don't judge others. Write that down. Don't judge others. Plain and clear, don't be a judger of others. And the Bible is clear about us, and I think sometimes I have to spend time challenging people to understand that God has not called us to judge people's motives or heart. There is no spiritual gift that allows you to look at somebody else's intention, motives, or their heart for why they do whatever it is that they're doing. And yet, for many people, they go past what they see in behavior and make a judgment about a person's intentions, their motives, and their heart. Thank all 17 of y'all for that rousing affirmation. It is a warning from the Lord that if you judge others, the same measuring stick that you use to judge others, you will be judged by. Criteria that you use to be critical of someone else will come back and fall upon you. As a matter of fact, the Bible is clear, you will reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. What comes around goes around. It comes back to you. And so I've learned in my life to be slow and not to be critical of other people, but yet to recognize I can't be critical of another person until I have walked a mile in their shoes. It's very easy to be judgmental about somebody and to judge and to form an opinion, but Jesus is crystal clear to us about don't pass judgment, don't pronounce a sentence, don't condemn them, don't make a decision about them, don't call them into question, don't form an opinion about them. He says it right clear, don't judge others. As a matter of fact, in the Greek, it says, do not judge. It's remove judgment from off of the plate of your evaluation. Don't do it. Put it on the background. Put it in the backdrop. Don't do it. And I think that's something that we all ought to put in the arena of our lives. And then, and that's my first point. Here's my second point. How do you know what the marks of judgment are? How do you know what the marks are? And I got 3 sub-points to point to. I got 3 sub-points. My point two is, what are the marks? How do you know what a judger looks like? What are the things that a judger does? And I got some verses. I'm not going to read them, but I'm going to give it to you because I know y'all going to write them down and go and read these scriptures, because that's what the 8 o'clock crowd does. The 12 o'clock crowd don't do it, but I know the 8 o'clock crowd does. They take wonderful notes and they go home and they study it and they review the dynamic messages that the pastor preaches every week so they can get it in their soul and spirit. Here's the first mark of a judger. You condemn others but fail to see your own problems. And that's what Jesus says right here in verse 3. He says, why are you looking at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own? Let me put that in today's language. Why are you being critical of the splinter in your brother's eye, but you don't see that there's two logs protruding from your own eyes? Why are you so quick to take the splinter out of theirs, but you can't see that you got issues? Why are you critical of somebody else's addictions, but you don't see your own addictions? Why are you critical of the young lady with the shorts, miniskirt on, and you got spandex on yourself, Grandma? Come on, look at me for a second. Why are you talking about somebody else with a drug addiction and you can't leave the cigarettes or the liquor alone? Let me let that soak in for a few moments. Jesus says, behold, take a look at your own self. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, jot it down. Don't have time to turn there, but it says this. Whenever you're judging somebody, you're really condemning yourself. You know, when you're pointing the finger and being critical of somebody else, there's three fingers pointing back at you. And people are critical of other folk, especially when they see something that's evident in their own life, but they don't see it in themselves, but they're quick to see it in somebody else. I'm doing the best that I can. When you do it the way God wants you to do it, before you look at somebody else, you examine your own self first. Correct your own problems before you try to help somebody else. Look at where your shortcomings are. Recognize what you need help in. And try to do something about your own issues. Here's the truth of the matter. I don't know everybody in here's name. I don't know where you live. I don't know what kind of work you do. But I can look at y'all right now. See, everybody in here got some kind of issue. Everybody in here got something that ain't quite right. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about you. He's talking about you. Matter of fact, look back at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking about me. I know he's talking about me. I know he's being critical. I'm just trying to lay it out there. Jesus said, I'm just giving you what Jesus said. And he said, why are you trying to help somebody else when you don't see that you got your own problem yourself? Matter of fact, in verse number 5, he calls you a hypocrite. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a hypocrite. If you're guilty of this. That word hypocrite means to be a play actor. Hypocrite means to be putting on a mask, to put a mask up in front of you and act like you're one way when in reality you're different than the way you're pretending and perpetrating to be. And church people is full of hypocrites. Who act like they dotting every I and crossing every T and got it all together when really they all jacked up themselves. And that's why I try to tell y'all every time I come in here, every time I get an opportunity, I don't dot every I, I don't cross every T. I'm a jacked up joker and I don't deserve to be where I am, but I'm thankful that God gives me another chance to get it straight and get it right. I'm spending enough time trying to correct my own problems before I try to act like I don't have no problems and try to straighten you out. And if more Christians would work and focus on themselves and stop worrying about somebody else, the church would be so much better. The church is a hospital. We are not, this is not a social club for saints. It's a hospital for sick people. Stop getting shocked and surprised and critical because somebody don't live up to your standards. You ain't living up to your own standards. I I'm sorry to ask you to do this again, but look at your neighbor and say, stop being so critical of other people. Stop talking about them. Stop pointing the finger at them. Stop being critical. Stop being high-minded like you done dotted every I and crossed every T as though you have arrived. You have not arrived. And the moment you think you got it all together, then there's pride. When you think you got it together and you done everything right and you done got to where you need to be, pride has entered into the arena of your life. A person who is a judger condemns others but fails to see their own problems. My assignment here today is to tell you, focus on your own issues. Jesus says, recognize the splinter in your own eye. Recognize, see that you got it before you're critical of others. Hold on, let me give you a second characteristic of a judger. A judger, number two, forms opinions based on appearance or suspicions. Let me give it to you again. I know I went kind of fast, but a judger forms opinions based on opinions or suspicions. It's dangerous to make a judgment about somebody based on what you think you saw. In John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says that men judge by what they see, but God judges righteous judgment. Men go by what they see, and everything is not always what you think you see. I've told the illustration on many occasions over the years about me picking up my friend. I picked up one of my friend's school buddies who wanted me to take him. He had just got paid. He wanted me to take him to the liquor store to cash his check. And I said, sure, no problem. Then I started thinking about it. And I thought about the fact all I need is one of those nosy church people. To drive by and see my car at the drive-in window of the liquor store, or even parked in the parking lot of the liquor store, and they wouldn't ask me, they wouldn't check into it. Matter of fact, I thank God I didn't do it. I said to him, I'll park across the street and let you out, let you walk across to the liquor store. But you know, this has been some years ago, but if it had been some years ago and I had pulled in the parking lot or to the drive-in window in today's age, the saints would have pulled up and pulled out their cameras. Come on, holler at me for just a second. And it would have been tweeted and retweeted and Instagrammed and... Dad, a pastor is a drunkard. The minister is toe up. They wouldn't have the integrity to come and ask me about it. So I said to my friend Billy, I'll just wait across the street while you go cash your check. When we are not to form opinions by what we think we saw. Because what you see is not always what you think you saw. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, jot it down, read it when you get an opportunity. Verse 15 says, a spiritual man carefully examines all things, divinely, carefully researches, investigates what he think he may think he saw. I just had to deal with a situation just this weekend where somebody drew some conclusions about somebody that they didn't think they were worthy to be in leadership. And once I did my research on the matter, I was able to draw a conclusion that the people who made a judgment had not done the research to find out. And I got mad because people are creating and making judgments on other people without checking out the facts. And some of y'all go by what somebody told you. Don't you know, by the time somebody tells you, it's been twisted and turned and added to, and so-and-so put their little two cents in and added their imagination. By the time you get it, it's been all twisted and turned, and it's nowhere near the truth. More people ought to be saying ouch than just that one person right there. Some of you need to go and apologize to some folk to whom you have misjudged. As a matter of fact, let me add this to the discussion, because a lot of you are participants in gossip. Let me tell you what gossip is. Right after I tell you what it is, just come on up to the altar. I'm having an altar call. You can come and repent. Gossip is when somebody shares information with you. You are participating in gossip. When they share information with you, and you are not a part of the problem nor the solution. Y'all so convicted, y'all can't even clap on that right there. Yeah. When you are participating in conversations about somebody and you're not a part of the problem nor the solution, you are engaging in gossip. I can always tell when I hit that button at the 8 o'clock corral, y'all get quiet. Y'all don't say nothing. When I'm talking about somebody else, y'all be saying, amen, pastor, preach. But when I put the finger right on what you're guilty of, y'all don't say nothing. That's why I think I should stay right here for a few more moments. Slander. Let me tell you what slander is. Slander is when you tell the truth about somebody with a design to hurt their name or reputation. And the truth of the matter is, everybody here in here got something in their life that somebody else could be slanderous about you. Yeah, everybody here done something, went somewhere, hooked up, touched something, messed with something, said something, thought something, wanted something that's true about you. You don't want nobody to be blasting your shortcomings and your failures, but you quick to go and tell somebody else about somebody else's issue, and then you got the nerve to say, child, it's the truth. It might be true, but do you want people blasting the truth about you out to somebody? Anybody here like me glad that God has kept some of your stuff covered? I don't know about you, but I'm thanking God that He kept me covered. If you knew everything about me, you wouldn't sit in this church right here today. But thank God I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. I'm covered by the lily of the valley. I'm covered by the bright and morning star. He has washed all of my sins away, and He covered me. That's so good. High five your neighbor. Say, that's good right there. That brings me to my third and final sub point. This is my third sub-point to point two, and my final point, and I'll be finished. A judger, number one, condemns others without seeing their own problems. Number two, forms opinions based on appearance and suspicions. And number three, a judger publicly exposes. Amen. Are you coming to the altar to repent of your sins? And when you're judging somebody, you're quick to try to get the word out. You want to expose the person, and this is best. Let me give you this. Matthew chapter 18. I'm almost finished. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. The scripture says, if a person is overtaken in a fault or a person sins against you, you deal with them privately. You don't expose them in the public. You deal with it privately. That's what Matthew 18 says. So when you want to publicly expose somebody, you're not doing it the way God says. And this is illustrated. I'm not going to turn there, but read this story when you get a chance. In John chapter 8, the first 12 verses tells the story about the religious audience people, the scribes and Pharisees, catching a woman in adultery. And they caught her in adultery, and they drug her to the temple where Jesus was tempted, was preaching and teaching. And in the middle of Jesus's teaching, they interrupted his teaching and drugged the woman down to the front of the synagogue. And they said, we have caught this woman in adultery. And they said to him, we caught her in the very act. She was doing it. And they caught her. I had to tell y'all what that language means. Y'all don't know what the very act means. She was in the very act of it. And they caught her. And they drug her down to the temple and brought her down to the front of the church. And said, Jesus, according to the law, we're supposed to stone her to death. But you up here talking about forgiveness and all of that. What you trying to say? Now, they were trying to trap Jesus. If Jesus had said, let her go, they would have accused him of breaking the law. Because the law said, if you catch a person in adultery, you stone them to death. But if he said, forgive her, they would have accused her of if he said, forgive her, of breaking the law. But if he had said, go ahead and stone her, they would have accused him of being a murderer. So here's what Jesus did. He turned around, knelt down on the ground, and started writing on the ground, the scripture says, as though he heard them not. He was giving them a chance to get away. But they wouldn't go. So he kept on writing on the ground, and then finally, when they kept asking him about it, he looked up and said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Then he turned back around and knelt back down and started writing. Now, the scriptures don't tell us what he was writing. But one by one, the scribes and Pharisees, the scripture says, got convicted and left. I think he was writing down the names of their girlfriends and chicks on the side. Read it when you get an opportunity. It don't tell us what he was writing. I'm just suspecting. That's my imagination. And then when he got up and looked around, and he said, all of the scribes and Pharisees who had drug her in there were gone. They had disappeared. They had vanished. He said to her, where are your accusers? She said, they're gone. They're not. He said, neither do I accuse you. Then he said, just go and sin no more. Is anybody here glad that God has given you an opportunity to go and sin no more?
Now, I just got a few questions. You bought the lady, but where's the man? Hold up, I got another quick question. You don't commit adultery out in the open. You go to some dark, secluded spot where won't nobody come. And by the way, scribes and Pharisees, righteous leaders, what you doing at a dark, secluded place? That you caught her in the very act. What you doing there? There's great news. One day we will all have to stand before the true judge. Y'all didn't clap on that like I thought you should. And I know why you're slow to it, because you're thinking about your life and your behavior and your choices. And I'm reminding you that one day you'll have to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus and give an account. And I know you're a little bit scared. But I have not finished telling you the story. That while we will stand before the judgment seat of God, before the judgment seat of Jesus, the great news is when we stand before Him, our sins have all been washed away. Somebody help me give God a shout of praise. And a shout of glory. Because though our sins be as scarlet, they can be whiter than snow. And I believe there might be somebody here today who needs their sins to be washed away. I got great news. Jesus died on the cross so your sins could be washed away. That you can be washed and made whole. No matter what you've done, how frequently you did it, how recently you did it, He has made provisions for all your sins to be washed away. And I want to invite you today to come and say yes to the Lord. If you're here today, you're not saved, you're not accepted the Lord, you have not received forgiveness of sins, you've not been born again, come and say yes to the Lord Jesus. Are you in a backslidden mode? You want to rededicate yourself? Don't be ashamed. Come. You're unsure of your salvation, you need confidence and assurance, come right now. He's made provisions for you. Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God. Glory to God.